Are there different kinds of forgiveness in the Bible? That interesting question is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you so much for joining us. We love that we can come to you through various venues, and we so appreciate that you've taken some time to be with us today. On today's episode, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this interesting topic. So let's go right to this discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are taking your questions. Here is a question from Lindsay. She says, after listening to your studies on possessing eternal life, I've come to agree that Jesus died for everyone's sin and has done away with the sin problem.
Okay.
But I was wondering if you could explain Acts 10:43. And Acts 10:43, she quotes it here.
Well, before we do that, you probably ought to briefly explain what she means by he died for all and is taking care of the sin problem.
Well, see, I'm not 100% sure, but you have a very strong opinion about what that means.
Yeah. I think what she means, which is, if it's what I mean, is that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't potentially take away the sin barrier. He actually took it away.
So now what is that sin barrier, and in what sense is it taken away?
Okay. Apart from the death of Christ and the shed blood of Christ, there could be no human having everlasting life. No one would have it because their sins would block them from having everlasting life. They're spiritually dead, and they couldn't gain life because their sin would be a barrier. John the Baptist said in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John said in 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation, that means basically satisfaction, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So God has satisfied God's righteous requirements in terms of a person having everlasting life in the death of Christ, and so that he can be just to give everlasting life to the one who believes in Jesus. Apart from the death of Christ, even believing in Jesus wouldn't give us everlasting life because our sins would be a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So the point that she's making, Lindsay is making, is she's come to believe that Jesus has removed the sin barrier. And if you look at most gospel tracts, they'll say there's a great chasm between God and man,
yeah.
And then they'll show a picture of the cross
right.
Filling the gap in, and they'll say Jesus has bridged the gap between God and man.
Right.
It still doesn't mean everybody's born again. It just means now everybody's savable.
And so her question is, I was wondering if you can explain Acts 10:43. Is this relational forgiveness? And let's find out. Acts 10:43 says this, "To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." So I guess her question is, if Jesus takes away the sin of the world, if he takes away the sin barrier, then why is it that only believers get forgiveness of sin? Isn't forgiveness of sin part of getting the sin barrier taken away?
Good question. And we've talked about this before. In fact, I have an article on different aspects of the atonement,
mm-hmm.
that Christ has died for everyone and he's removed the sin barrier for everyone. But in terms of the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of sins is only for the one who believes in Christ.
Right.
And when we believe, we're forgiven in a positional sense.
So that would be this one.
Right. Or right. She may be talking about that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's talking to believers and saying fellowship forgiveness is received by confessing our sins as we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. So that's even a further application of the blood of Christ.
Right.
In fact, he says in 1:7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin.
Right.
So it seems to me there are different aspects of the blood of Christ. You've talked about this before. What do you call it?
Yeah, it's not a package deal.
It's not a package deal.
It's not
right.
a package. There are different benefits for different people under different conditions.
Okay,
right?
I like the way you say
different
that.
Different benefits,
yeah.
different people. When you look at all the different verses about forgiveness, it really seems like there are two different types, the positional and experiential, or positional and
fellowship.
Fellowship, yeah. Forgiveness.
Our family,
and,
yeah.
And so in Acts 10:43, if you believe, you get remission of sins. Okay. But in 1 John 1:7-9, you have to walk in the light and you have to confess to get that forgiveness of sins.
Okay.
So it looks like there's a contradiction.
Let me say a couple things about this. First of all, Peter has been sent by God through a vision he received to bring the message to Cornelius and his family, the first group of Gentiles to hear the saving message. We're told in Acts 11:14 that Cornelius told Peter that God had told him that Peter would give him words by which he and his household must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew it was going to be a saving message. And he is telling them about Jesus, and he tells them that they killed Jesus by hanging him on a tree, verse 39,
right.
That God raised him from the dead, verse 40, and that he appeared to many people, to witnesses, and he's commanded us to preach, and that Jesus is going to be the judge of the living and the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says in verse 43, which is not the end of what he planned to preach, but it's the end of what happened. To him, all the prophets witness, that means the Old Testament prophets talk about Messiah, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Mm. Then verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word.
Yeah.
They were born again at the moment they heard whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. They understood, in light of Acts 11:14, words by which you must be saved,
right.
That when you believe in him, you're saved and you're forgiven. Now, there's a secondary question, and that is, which type of forgiveness is this? What did Lindsay ask?
She wanted to know if this was relational. Is relational positional or is relation fellowship?
I think probably. She means fellowship,
yeah.
But in any regard, I would call relational a fellowship forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on here. I think what Peter is saying is, whoever believes in him starts the Christian life with a blank slate. You don't start out having to confess all of your pre-Christian sins in order to get in fellowship with God.
Okay.
You begin the Christian life in fellowship with God. Now, it's possible that what Peter is saying is whoever believes in him receives positional forgiveness of all sins, past, present, and future. That's the more normal understanding of this verse.
All right, so why would you not take the normal understanding?
Well, what he's talking about is Jews and Gentiles that are united in one body, and they both have equal access to God. And so I think what he's saying here is that whoever includes the Gentiles, like Cornelius and his family, and I think it makes a bit more sense to say you're starting the Christian life in fellowship with God without, you see, the Jews didn't start that way. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they had to repent and be baptized in order to get in fellowship with God.
Oh, interesting.
But
okay.
At this point, the message shifts.
So he doesn't need to do that to get forgiveness of that kind
no,
of forgiveness.
No.
He just needs to believe.
Right. The Palestinian Jews who had rejected Messiah, they were born again simply by faith, but they didn't receive the Spirit and the forgiveness of sins unless they repented and were baptized.
Hmm.
You can see some articles on our website, faithalone.org, by a former Church of Christ minister, Lanny Thomas Tanton. He's got articles on Acts 2:38 and on Acts 22:16. I think this is talking about fellowship forgiveness, but whether it's fellowship forgiveness or positional forgiveness doesn't really change the sense of the passage.
And for people who are hearing about this for the first time, and I don't know if we said this clearly, but when Jesus takes away the sins of the world, he doesn't forgive the sins of the world. The
right.
Forgiveness is not part of that taking away.
In fact, what's interesting is if you look at the Gospel of John, you find out that the doctrine of forgiveness is never part of the evangelistic message of Jesus. Mm. Never. There's only two places where forgiveness even comes up in the Gospel of John. The only explicit place is in John 21, where Jesus says to the apostles, the sins you remit will be remitted, and the sins that you retain will be retained. You can forgive, you can withhold forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not clear exactly what that's talking about.
Right.
It's probably talking about some sort of church discipline issue. But the only other example would be the foot washing, which doesn't mention forgiveness, but many people take as kind of an illustration of 1 John 1:9.
And the fact that John's gospel doesn't emphasize forgiveness tells you what?
Well, it tells me the forgiveness of sins is not what is promised when we believe in Jesus. What is promised is everlasting life. And forgiveness of sins is a separate issue. Now, it is true when we're born again, we receive a positional forgiveness.
What verse would he use to show positional
forgiveness? Well, I would say Colossians chapter 2, I think it's verses 13 and 14.
And you, being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of the flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, and having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. So it's like, but.
And he nailed it to the cross.
Having forgiven you all trespasses.
And there are other verses like that. You know, we often say he's forgiven us past, present, and future. Well, that's true in a positional sense.
Well, so is God, is there a psychological, you know, if I said, son, I'm forgiving you, but I have to punish you for this sin. Is there a contradiction there between God saying, yes, you're forgiven, on the other hand, you're definitely not forgiven?
No, I let's say your son Zane greatly grieved you.
Yeah.
He'd still be your son.
Yes.
You'd still love him.
Yes.
You'd still accept him. In that sense, you've positionally forgiven him for whatever he's going to do in the future. You're not going to exclude him from your family.
Okay.
But in terms of your fellowship with him, if he rebels against you and rebels against the things you teach him, you're not going to approve of him. He actually, if he offends you significantly enough, is going to need to come to you and say, Dad, I'm sorry, will you forgive me?
Right.
That's the point, I think, that's here. God gives a positional forgiveness in the sense that we're accepted by him no matter what. Mm-hmm. We're not going to lose our relationship with God. But in terms of our fellowship with God, no, we must walk in the light and we must confess our sins.
How about this illustration? I don't know if this will work or not. Imagine if I was a judge and Zane, my son, commits some type of crime.
Right.
For whatever reason, I decide to let it go. Can a judge do that? My illustration's already breaking up. But let's just assume I could do that. But then when I got home, I'd be like, okay, Zane, we got to deal with this.
Yeah.
I didn't charge you under the law. But because you did this in this family, we got to deal with it in the family.
Yeah, that might work, especially if what you said is, okay, I'm finding you guilty, but I'm giving you probation.
Right, okay.
And now we're going home.
Right, right. But you're not getting probation at home.
No.
At home, you're grounded.
Right? Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Well, this is an interesting question. I think a book we have that deals with this is Harmony with God by Zane Hodges.
Very
you can
good.
Find at our website, faithalone.org. It's a small little book. Anyone can read it, and I'm sure it'll be profitable to you. Thanks for tuning in, and keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about doubt, so you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.